This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech Show number 144, recorded on November 15th, 2013. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and on a Friday night from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post the show with world-class show notes each week out at theAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show. Send me an email, podcast at theAverageGuy.tv. Jim at theAverageGuy.tv works as well, and some of you, since I've been saying that, some of you have actually been sending me emails. I've gotten more emails at Jim at the Average Guy, so that must be easier to remember. So Jim at theAverageGuy.tv, or you can find me on Twitter at Jay Collison, or follow the show schedule on Twitter at TheAverageGuy.tv. If you're watching us on Google Plus or on YouTube, you can also join us for live chat during the show right next to the video window. Although tonight I'm going to recommend you head over to the YouTube page. So if you go to TheAverageGuy.tv, upper right-hand corner, click on, it says YouTube high bandwidth option. That's where the, looks like live stream is having some problems tonight. So if you're the video's choppy or whatever, you might want to head over to YouTube. And Mike Howard is reporting that the video is better over there as well. All right. Like I mentioned before, we have a Friday night show. The last two Thursdays I've had concerts that I've been out at, and appreciate you guys moving the show, or at least letting me move the show from Thursday, because you don't really let me. I just do it. But moving the show from Thursday to Friday nights, and I got a couple more guys with me tonight that gave up their Friday night, although Kevin Schoonover, for you, you were just going to be sitting in the hotel room anyways, right, on Friday night?
This is the highlight. This is the highlight of my Friday night.
It actually works out super well for you, and you're at a conference, another conference, and just got down tearing down, right? Where are you at?
Down in Orlando.
And the conference, tell me again what the conference was.
I was for one of our partners, a company called Presidio, and they brought all their engineers together for IT, and we got to talk with them about the products that we sell them and that my engineering team works with them on.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. It seems like, I was saying in the pre-show, you get about one conference a month in, it seems like, on average. Is that pretty close?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we kind of go through stretches, too, where, you know, the beginning of the year is always busy because vendors have their kickoff meetings for the year. So, you know, January, I seem to be gone every week to something, but usually it's about a monthly conference.
All right, very cool. Well, it's good to have you in on a Friday night. And then up there in the frozen Northwest, Northeast. I'm going to the Northwest. Rich is in the Northeast. The guy behind Rich's Random Podcast Generator, Rich O'Neill. Rich, how are you?
Good. What's going on, Jim?
It's good to have you in here. We need to record some more.
It's Rich, cold up here.
It's getting chilly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. You start off in the morning time, it's about 25 degrees, and then by the afternoon, it's up around 50, which is okay with me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, good to have you in. We got to get some more Rich's Random Podcast going, and always good to have you out on the podcast. And I know, thanks. We had a little bit of, we were going to go to a play tonight, and I appreciate you moving it to tomorrow to make that work for us. So thanks for coming in.
No problem.
A couple notes. I want to get out of the way right up front. Just a couple show notes that we have in there. We had a lengthy discussion over at homeservershow.com. If you haven't been over there yet, maybe, and I find it hard to believe that if you're listening to my show, you haven't listened to the Home Server Show. But Dave McCabe and myself get together on Wednesday nights, and we talk about really home storage. The Windows Home Server product is pretty much gone from Microsoft's memory. And so we spend a lot of time talking about home storage, home backup, those kinds of things. And, of course, CryptoLocker, which we talked about last week on the show, CryptoLocker has been kind of a very deadly virus that is making its way around the Internet. Very serious. They're hijacking your PC, basically encrypting all the files. And the ante, they've been up in the ante over the last couple of weeks. It started at $300 and went up to $1,000, and I've heard reports of $2,000 now to be able to get your files unencrypted from their service. And they will unencrypt them. If you pay the bill, they'll unencrypt them, and you basically just paid a ransom to get those, to get your files back. But we had recommended last week Malwarebytes to do that, and there's a couple other. That's not the only one that's doing it, but Malwarebytes And over in the Home Server Show forum, someone had said they had tested and it didn't work, and we got an engineer from Malwarebytes involved because I was like, hey, guys, this has got to be working. If you're telling us it's working, it's got to be working. And, of course, those, you're going to see a ton of copycat viruses now based on that kind of setup, that kind of the delivery mechanism that they're using. And so just remember, antivirus is not necessarily the only solution. You got to be careful what you're opening. You got to be careful where you're opening it at. You got to be careful what you're doing when you're on the web. Those kinds of things are out there. But you definitely want to have some kind of antivirus, and hopefully a good antivirus installed. Many of them will check that executable before it runs, and they'll recognize a signature or a what do we call that, Rich? It's not a signature, but a...
heuristics?
Yeah.
Most of them are signature-based, though.
Right, so signature-based. Yeah. And they'll recognize that and then and stop them from executing, and that's really what you want. Once the PC's infected, you're done. You're going to have to pay them, or hopefully your files have been backed up. And we talk a bunch about that in last week's show, and a bunch of it yesterday in the home, or 2 days ago in the Home Server Show. But Kevin, in the enterprise space, much buzz around this at all in what you do? I know you're out and about talking to folks all the time. Is it showing up at all from what you've heard of in the enterprise space at all?
You know, we haven't seen it really in the enterprise, and I've been asking more and more about it because actually where we hear about it is guys talking about family members getting hit or people they know getting hit. So it does seem to be popping more from that point of view, and we really haven't seen a breakout in the enterprise as of yet.
Okay, well, that's good.
We have our IT department sent out a couple of big warnings again about being real careful about what you open, and we've got a real strong pre-mail filter product that we use, so email gets scrubbed really, really good before it gets to our users.
Yeah, and I imagine that's a preventative measure as well as some of the antivirus that hits the mail even before the mail gets there. A reminder, it can come through an infected site as well. And so if you visit a site that has been compromised, I like to use OpenDNS for that. That's my favorite. We put that here at the Collison House. That is kind of everything runs through OpenDNS. They monitor sites that have gotten compromised and then block those. And so it's just one more way of protecting you and the family and maybe your precious pictures from getting encrypted, which is just terrible. We're going to talk a little bit about more encryption as the show goes on. We won't talk about that too much, but there are some options, and you want to make sure your antivirus stuff is up to date. Little update on the Tech Scholarship Fund. I want to say thanks, guys. You guys are on a record pace for another record month to fund that Tech Scholarship Fund. I just checked it here today. You know, we're at the 15th, and we're already at almost $100. That's all commission money that comes from Amazon. That happens when you go to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon and purchase from there. You guys are making some good purchases. We take that money, and I turn it back into things that we buy for folks. If you go back to 143, you'll hear Nathaniel talk about a Wi-Fi, a GoFlex, Seagate GoFlex Wi-Fi-enabled hard drive that he's going to take here Thanksgiving coming up in the United States here in a week or two. And he's going to take it, and kids are going to watch movies from the iPad. So that has funded one of those. We've done some other things as well. And so we want to thank you for shopping at Amazon when you do that, and we can turn those around into giveaways. By the way, I'm looking for the next round of folks who want to try things out. We are waiting for – there's two products from a Nest that are coming out. There's a brand new smoke detector from Nest that Gordon is going to review as soon as that becomes available. So – I think those are $130 or so. We try to keep that scholarship fund around $100, but I'll go over for that one. And then there was one more. What was that?
Has Gordon just reached first name status now, like Cher and, you know?
Well, there's nobody else in the community named Gordon.
All right. Does he even have a last name?
Gordon Schmidt. Legally changed. The podcaster formerly known as Gordon Schmidt is just now Gordon. And so anyways, Gordon's going to take a peek at that for us. And if you've got an idea of something you'd like to see reviewed and you want to do it, it's going to require a post or two, and then you'll join us on the podcast to talk about it. But it's a great way to try something out, and we'll pay for it, and then you get to keep it. So it's very cool. Speaking of that, I was contacted by Power Rock Media. So that's powerrockmedia.com. And they just said, hey, we want you to review one of these magic sticks. So if you've ever seen the magic sticks, they're about that long. They're round. They fit right. They can go anywhere. The smaller ones are like 2,800 milliamps. They'll recharge your phone once or twice if you need battery backup power. They said, would you like to get one of those to review? And I put that out in the Facebook. Another good reason to join our Facebook group, the first reason is because that's where Kevin Schoonover posts all his deals. So you definitely want to be in our Facebook group if you're going to be in tune with what Kevin Schoonover does. Mm-hmm. The second reason is because I put out, hey, does anybody want to review this? And Christopher Brown spoke up. Actually, Chris has been on the podcast before, and it's been a year or so since he came on. He got real busy. He's a teacher out there in California. And he said, hey, I'll review it. And so I just sent the address over from them to him. They're going to ship it to him direct. He's going to take a look at it, test it, write it up, and then we'll have him back on the podcast to talk about it. It's another way for us to do stuff. I said I wasn't going to do reviews like this from vendors because it puts us in a weird spot on the review, but I'm going to revise that to say I'm not going to do that. So you guys, I don't mind turning it over to you. You can be as honest as you want on the products, and I appreciate your honesty on those. We're not beholden to them. They just want to give us some products to review. And so if you want to do that, join the Facebook group. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook and make sure you follow it from time to time. If we get more of those reviews, I'd just love to throw them out there and have you guys do it. I like to do it too, but I just don't have enough time, and I kind of want to get the Average Guy Nation out there. That's the very first time I've said it that way. The Average Guy Nation out there to review some things. This next week, we will podcast. Next Thursday, John Zadler is coming on the show to talk a little bit about Windows Server. I'll give you an update on the Microsoft MVP conference, which I'll have just come back from in Seattle. So next Thursday, the 21st, we're back at our regular time at 8 p.m. Central, and we got some stuff coming up with that. All right, that's enough housekeeping. Let me roll through that. I know, Kevin, you had said when I asked you to be on the show, you said, hey, I'm going to talk about tablets some. So we're going to turn it over to you a little bit. You can walk through. You got some great notes. Rich and I are going to pepper you with questions as you do your tablet overview.
Well, and as I threw out tablets as a topic, I'm sure if you overly advertise tablets, the majority of the average guys were probably going, oh, God, not tablets. Who wants to talk about tablets again? But part of the discussion really was from, and I think a lot of us on the podcast here and a lot of the guys listening, we're the advisors for our friends and family. And I started noticing that everybody kind of starts the tablet discussion with, should I get an Apple? Should I get an Android? Should I get a Windows? And I've really kind of rolled back from that of that's a later decision. That's, your ecosystem kind of decision to me is a later one. It's really, why do you want a tablet? What are you going to do with it? And, some of the observations I've made as of late is, most people get them for just email and web browsing, maybe some light reading. And I think some of the issues that people run into is if you kind of just want to buy one tablet and you want it to do everything, and I'm really coming to find that a lot of cases that's just not the case. And where I ran into that was as I was starting down the path of everything was pretty good with media and content until I started moving all my magazines over to digital format. And 16:9 aspect ratio tablets like the Dell 8-inch and the Surface RT, they don't work with magazines very well.
Is that the Venue, Kevin? Is that Venue? It's a brand new one?
Yep, that is the Venue. Yeah, I've been traveling cool. with it
That's
this week.
Brand new. You just must have just got that. Is that a work supplied, or did you pony up for it?
I ponied up for this one. Little side note: any guys who have American Express for a work account, you pay $75 to get their benefits package, and the dollars that accrue are not great for regular gift certificates, but for Dell bucks, they really work out nice. So the benefit of American Express for Dell works out really, really well. And I wrote a little review on Jim's website for a little tablet I got from Imatics, and it is an 8-inch tablet that is a 4:3 aspect ratio, so more the the Apple kind of form factor. I really got this tablet mainly from the idea of, out of curiosity, how good or how bad a $129 8-inch tablet could be, and it's really quite good. It's you can tell they had to skimp in every area a little bit, but from a technology point of view, it's not it's very functional, and from an Android point of view, I think any of us go shopping in any kind of a department store, you see the $49 and $59 Android no-name tablets floating around. One of my big gotchas with those tablets is the majority of them, or I shouldn't say the majority, a lot of them don't use Google for their store. They have some other store of their own, and the Amatix here uses Google Play. It's a full Google Play device. So,
and you were contemplating giving that away. How are we going to do that?
I was going to give it to whoever could beat me in the Amazon deals thing.
We haven't had too many takers, so that may not work
out. You got to make it fair, Kevin. Come on.
There is still half a month left, and Black Friday is coming up. So just a reminder, head out to our Facebook group, theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. Post an Amazon deal, and there's post it in the group, and then there's a little file that I have out there that I just ask you to post it so I can keep track of it. At the end of the month, I'm going to tally all those posts up that you put in there is what they actually sell, and whoever does that is going to get into the Average Guy Scholarship Fund. And if you beat Kevin Schoonover in the deal, he's going to give you that. But we may find out another way to give that away. So.
Well, I was just going to say, Jim, if nobody beats me, why don't we put this in the scholarship fund and let somebody else review it, and then they can keep it.
Well, so let's just say if you're interested in doing that, head over to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, join the group or jump in the group, and if you want to do it, Kevin will ship it out to you, and you can take a peek at it. So just let us know inside that group.
That sounds great.
Okay.
That sounds great.
We'll do that. So keep going.
So, other things that I've come to find, screen resolution and the pixel density kind of stuff, and there's a lot of new tablets coming out that I think are going to be very interesting. One I've kind of got my eye on, HP has a 8-inch tablet, Android-based, that'll be a 4:3 aspect ratio, so similar screen to Apple's form factor, and 1600x1200 resolution. So my quest has kind of been, I'd like to have an 8-inch tablet that does everything well, and the magazine and the large, I read a lot of magazines, I read a lot of PDFs that are tech briefs, and I hate to admit it, but at the end of the day, you kind of need a bigger screen for that, something like an iPad size screen, and I get into it in my notes a little farther down. My wife's Nook HD Plus, which is a 9-inch screen, close to a 4:3 aspect ratio, that's a really nice reader. And, Barnes & Noble has basically given those things away at like $179 and $149, so they've come down in price a lot. The digitizing function, part of my traveling with the venue is to play around with the stylus, and I'm really enjoying OneNote with the keyboard option of, so there's two ways you can enter. You can do pen entry straight onto OneNote, so you can draw drawings right on OneNote, or you can write at the bottom of the screen and have the keyboard option automatically convert it into text and then insert it into your documents. So I'm loving OneNote so far with this device. Plus, the camera is good enough that if we whiteboard something on the wall, I can take a shot with this and pop that into OneNote as well. So that's come along really, really well.
Yeah, let's talk about that screen size real quick, because I think you make a good point there. For you, what's the minimum? If 8 isn't great, and if it's 8 4:3 isn't great, I mean, is the minimum for you a 9 or a 10-inch screen to really make it readable at a 4:3 layout?
For the magazines, it is. So I kind of swore off 7-inch tablets. They just didn't feel right for me, and the screen was a little small for me. And I've got, right now, my main tablet in that small size is, I've got a Motorola, it was their Zyboard, it's 8.2-inch screen, 16:9 aspect ratio, and and that's good for reading books and video and, you know, pretty much everything but magazines and big documents. So yeah, I think you're probably in a 9 kind of size if you're looking for something that's comfortable for a do-it-all type of a product.
Kevin, where are you at with something like e-ink versus, you know, a display type screen, you know, something that reflects light versus something that gives out light?
I haven't really played with it very much at all.
You don't have a preference for looking at, like, you know, the e-ink is supposed to be more like looking at a newspaper. So when you look at it, you know, it's light, diffused light. And when you look at
Well, and actually that's what I was kind of hitting on in some of my show notes is I'm coming to find more and more if you really just want to read books, you mm-hmm. can't beat those e-ink tablets, the little Nook Paperwhite and the Kindle. If all you want to do with the tablet is read, that's the best way to go. Absolutely.
Easier. So, you notice it's easier on your eyes?
Is that I believe it is. I've not worked with them very much, but as I've played with them in stores and spent a little time reading, and the feedback I get from a good friend of mine, his wife reads a ton, and she does everything through Kindle, and she went from having kind of a regular 7-inch tablet to one of the e-ink reader type products. And she finds it to be much easier on her eye and much easier to read and use. So, you know, and I hate to tell everybody to go buy 3 or 4 different tablets, but in some ways, if you're reading a lot of books, those readers are nice. If you play games and you like bigger format color documents, then you're probably, you know, up into a larger tablet. And if you like it, you know, if you need it for work or multimedia, then you're probably into a 10 or 11-inch tablet.
I like the thought, though, have a couple, you know, of different tablets for depending on what you're. Yep.
You know, I've contemplated moving back to the, not moving back, getting a Kindle just for that reason. I, in the last 6 or 7 years, have quit reading books. And it maybe it's a time thing, maybe it's a, I don't know what it, I can't tell you the last time I really dug in and went through a book. And I was never a voracious reader, but I did. Mm. I did read from time to time, and I read quite a bit. I'm getting to the point where now it's laborious to just read through a blog post, and I'm thinking, oh man, I gotta get something, and so I've toyed with the idea of getting the Kindle just because it would kind of force me into maybe a gimmick that would get me reading again. I can't read on my phone, right? I have a Galaxy S4. That's just way too small. Yep. And then the next biggest thing, now I'm gonna get a Surface here when I'm out at the conference, so I have a Surface 2 in my hands. Be interesting to see. Maybe I'll try it on that, you know, to see if that changes it. But that's also a pretty big device to be holding in your hands. That Kindle, my daughter has a Kindle, and she just reads the. I mean, that thing is worn out.
What size?
It's the original, the $69 one.
Like the 6-inch one.
Yeah,
and she reads it.
Yeah. Are they that small? Are the original ones that small?
Some of them. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, she reads a ton on that thing. Now, we got her a new iPhone about 6 months ago, and she's also been reading a lot on her iPhone. I mean, she is a voracious reader.
Huh.
And she's gotten to the point now where probably only every third book is an actual book, you know, a physical book. Everything else is online. So, I don't know, Kevin, I'm contemplating that, especially just because it's nice to just pull it out of the backpack when you want to read something for entertainment and read it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Now, the one nice thing about the, for certain documents, you know, the Surface holding it landscape, I guess it would be, you get page side by side. So it does work kind of nice that way. Holding it in portrait mode doesn't seem to feel very good because it's too tall from that point of view.
Yeah, well, one of the advantages of the Kindle is they're talking about this in chat, I think it's light.
Yes.
You know, you get even that 8-inch Venue is a pound and something, right? Pound and some change, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that So those Kindles are just super light, and so you can read it in bed or whatever, and it's not so, you know, after what, because you're holding that up for a while. So, anyways.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, and I think that's the you have to look at where you're reading and the weight of that, and you know, you're resting it on your chest, or if you're laying down to read, you know, how are you holding it up? So some of these, my wife's Nook has a stand that can twist to portrait or landscape, and that actually works kind of nice to you know, laying in bed reading from that. So I think everybody has to kind of try them a little bit. The other thing about the size and the weight factor, and this is where I'll throw my shameless plug for Best Buy in. If you haven't been to Best Buy lately, go to Best Buy, because I'm more impressed every time I go there with, there are Samsung trained people who will walk you through a great demonstration on Samsung Note and help you understand their apps and their stylus and their tools. Last night I was in Denver and popped into a Best Buy for a few minutes and got cornered by the Sony guy, and Sony has done some really cool things with their new products. And the Microsoft people are very well trained, the Apple people are very well trained there. And at the end of the day, you don't have to walk out the door and go buy it off the internet, because Best Buy price matches with everybody. So ends my shameless plug for Best Buy. But especially if you're in a quandary about these tablets, get out to a store, and Best Buy is about the only store left where you can hold every one of these devices in your hand and play with it and work with it and see how it's going to feel and see how it's going to work for you.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. It's a good, you know, our Best Buys here are still a little sparse. I mean, I've got a couple that are close by, and I go in there and I still feel like, but you're right, the Samsung booth has really amped up.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not sure I'd want to read on a note still. I mean, that's pretty big, but you know, what's interesting is I used to read, I had an old Palm 3, or it's a Palm 5, one of those two, and I read a couple books on that Palm device, and that's a lot like e-ink, right? It was the dark screen, or it was the
light screen.
Light screen with the dark lettering, and it was like a, yeah. And it was actually readable, and it was a much smaller screen and a heavier device for sure, but some good stuff there. Okay, what else do you got for us?
I guess other tablets of interest. I mentioned the HP Slate 8. I'm holding out hope for that one. 8-inch, 4:3 aspect ratio, really nice resolution, 1600x1200. At Best Buy last night, I got to play with one of the new yoga tablets. If you've seen any of the Ashton Kutcher commercials, that's the tablet that's got the round battery on the side of it that kind of gives you a handle to hold on to. It's probably not going to be for everybody, but it's got a nice feel to it. It's got a neat kind of feel and function. Definitely want to take a look at the Nokia 10-inch tablet, which, you know, on one hand, it's RT and it's 10-inch, but the talk is it's pretty souped up and in pretty decent function. And the Toshiba Encore is yet another 8-inch tablet like the Dell. The one benefit of the Encore is it does have an HDMI out on it, which the other folks, Dell and Lenovo, have not put HDMI outs on their tablets. So that's kind of a want to look at product as well.
Rich just threw in chat, back to your Best Buy comment, Kevin. How long before Amazon buys Best Buy and turns that into their, you know, their front end retail
showroom
store? Yeah.
It really would be the smartest thing that they could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the new CEO at Best Buy has really turned things around, and you can see how they've done it through, you know, these store within a store kind of programs. They're doing really well with, you know, Samsung and Apple and Microsoft, and you know, that stuff's coming together very nicely for them.
I'm going to say Microsoft's products aren't all, you know, beat up and half, you know, falling off the display anymore. They seem to be getting taken care of.
Yep.
So it's kind of nice, because as a customer, you walk in, you know, you want to be able to look at stuff, and you're sure not going to buy something that looks like it's, you know, beaten up. Even if you know it's a good product, it's something about that. So,
I popped in a Best Buy on the day the Surface 2 launched to take a peek at them. They had them out, and the guy actually knew something about them when we were, you know, they were locked, right? The screen was locked, so I needed to have it, you know, and he unlocked it for me. And then he goes, hey, The only thing I can't find is the desktop, right? And they, you know, the Surface 2, they've hidden the desktop by design, and you can go and, you know, you can scroll down and find it in the icons,
apps.
But yeah, in the apps. Thank you. Yeah, Rich. So, but they were fairly knowledgeable, so it wasn't too bad of an experience. So.
I couldn't find a desktop. So come on, guy. You know,
and I do have to say, on the flight this morning from Denver to Orlando, the mom and daughter sitting next to me, the mom had a Surface 2 that she just had gotten. Her work lets them buy their own devices, and she would be a perfect commercial for Microsoft tablet devices in the enterprise.
We
both joked about the number of times we've been in a meeting with executives above our level, all of them with iPads, and nobody's got a USB stick or USB port to share a file.
Exactly. Like, no, you can't.
No.
Sorry about that. We did take a look a couple weeks back. I think on show 141, we did take a peek at that, the new iPad Air. I had Amish Gangar. Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys I worked with. Do a review on that. theaverageguy.tv/HT141. We'll get you there. That's a fairly nice device, though. I think, you know, they're betting on that everything will be in the everything will be in the cloud, right? And you don't need a flash drive. And I kind of agree with that, Kevin. I don't. I mean, it's nice to have these laptops. We lock them down at work, so you can't get to the flash drive. You know, you can't get to those drives anyways. You know, so no, I think it's forcing people into it.
And I think as we move forward, it will definitely get to that point. And whether it's a public cloud device like SkyDrive or Dropbox or a private cloud type of function, we're seeing a lot more of that where IT departments are creating their own cloud to let people share documents but still keep it with inside of their own firewalls. I think we'll definitely hit there. I think there's still a few other issues and bugs with the sharing of information, and and from an enterprise point of view, the more I interact with others, it still kind of gets back to most tablets, and frankly, most of the tablets that I've just been talking about. For the most part, they're consumption devices, and when we start drifting off into Surface Pro and this Tab 11 Sony I was looking at last night, and the Dell Venue 11. I think those are more creation devices. They're more laptop replacement kind of products because of the form factor, the performance, the size. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think it's really a question of what do you want to do with this device, and does it meet your needs?
And what are your own personal, like you said, does it meet your needs, right? Not your friends, not the group you hang out with, not your... You know, not your coworkers. Does it meet your needs? You know, Sunday, Dave and I are going to fly to Seattle. He's flying from Indianapolis. I'll come from Omaha, and we're going to meet in Seattle about the same time. And hopefully, Chris Lux, who's a good friend of the podcast, is going to pick us up, and we'll have lunch together. But my plan on the flight, I think I go through Denver and then Denver to Seattle, and then on the way back, it's nonstop, which is dynamite. Seattle to Omaha, nonstop. That's amazing, right? I'm looking forward to that, but. My device of choice that I will use for the Wi-Fi is going to be my Galaxy S4. And that, for me, I set that up on the kickstand, and I've got this Bluetooth keyboard, and I can rip through email on that, and when I'm not, I can plug it in, and that's where my podcasts are. And I'm not doing – it's so small, and it's so maneuverable on a plane that it just works really, really well. Now, my next device up is like a 15-inch is a 15-inch laptop. So I don't have that Venue 8, right? I don't have that 10-inch Surface yet, so I haven't started messing with that. But right now, I'm having a lot of good luck since my productivity on my phone is mostly email and what I'm doing. And I can surf. You can surf the web. That's got a nice screen to be able to do. And actually, Dave and I are going to try and do a hangout, an air-to-air. We think this might be the first in our community.
Wow.
We've been doing air ground-to-air hangouts, right, where one of us is on a plane and we get a hangout going. We're actually going to try and do, and I'm going to use TeamViewer on my S4 to start a hangout here in the studio.
You got
to
use TeamViewer.
TeamViewer, right. So I can use TeamViewer on the S4 to see my desktop here at the studio, right? Get a hangout going so that this becomes the record of, or the YouTube video record of choice, so we're not dropping in and out all the time. The recorder, right? The broadcaster. And then Dave and I are going to try to connect to that from our planes and have this conversation back and forth. And if you're a host on this show, chances are you're going to get invited to that hangout. So if you jump in a hangout this weekend on Sunday and nobody's there, it's just because Dave and I are having problems getting it going. But yeah, we're going to try to do this air-to-air hangout, and I will do it for my Galaxy S4 on the seat, you know, on the tray table. So that's my choice, but Kevin, I get it. That doesn't necessarily work right for everybody.
But absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up the keyboard thing. And you know, after you guys talked about the Microsoft keyboards you had, I had to dig through my stuff, and I had forgotten that I had a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard for Android. And I thought, geez, this has always been a nice little keyboard for folks that haven't seen it. It comes in this little sleeve, and then the sleeve folds out to be a stand to put your tablet or your phone on.
How much is that?
These were like $69 when they were new, but a lot of places are blowing them out for like $39.
And you like it?
I like it. It's good. And I thought, well, geez, I wonder how it would map, because it's an Android keyboard. How would it map for Windows? And Logitech has redone it as a Windows Android keyboard. And it hooked up with I had it on the Imatix 8-inch, and I had it on the Dell, and it works great. I mean, on the plane, I was working on email, and Jim, to your point, you know, even on a phone, sometimes, you know, you're just doing triage. You're buzzing through email quickly and sending some quick responses, and to have a nice little keyboard like this.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer.
Yeah, it's a nice way to travel.
Kevin, you know what I like about it is that oftentimes when you're the middle guy and you're sitting next to two bigger guys, and like you and me, we're bigger guys, right? I mean, we fill up the seats, but so you have three big guys, right? And those seats are made for like more Rich O'Neill style of guys, you know, little trimmer than we are, so your elbows are just jammed in, right? And the nice thing about having that separate keyboard is you can push that thing all the way to the end of the tray table, right? So your arms are extended out.
Yep.
And so you're saying us skinny guys have to just adapt. So here you go, skinny guy. Here's your keyboard.
Exactly what I'm saying, Rich.
But, don't bother me. I'm going to sleep here and I'm going to control that armrest
that's
whole
right.
flight.
That's right. I'm going to take it. But it allows you to send your arms out.
The problem is you skinny guys have bony elbows, and you're really mean to us fat guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what the problem is.
Well, anyways, back to the point. Sorry to get off on that. But it allows you to stretch your arms all the way out, and you have more – and then you can – I've actually put that – S4 all the way kind of in the corner off to the side on the tray table and push the keyboard all the way up and to the right. So you can look at your phone and then have your hands all the way extended, and that's really, really helpful on the plane. You can't really do that with a laptop.
Correct.
You know, just doesn't work. So I'm a believer. I Dave McCabe gave me that. That was a gift that he gave me. And at first I kind of thought, I wonder where I'll use this. And I am finding I'm using that Bluetooth keyboard more and more. I pull it out, and like your Logitech, it's got a cover. You just kind of pull off the top, and that thing folds into a tent that you can put the device, your device of choice. It would pair really nicely with that Venue 8. I imagine that would be a very, very cool way to do it. You could do something very similar, so that's a good form factor as well.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you have, Ken?
For the keyboard?
Yeah, you've got the Logitech. I'm looking at it now. It's like $51.
Yep. Yeah, I have the Microsoft Wedge keyboard.
Okay.
And it's like $69, I think, on Amazon right now. I put a link to it back on, I think we talked about it on show 142, and there's a link out there as well. Great little keyboard. It's very durable. I mean, it's metal, and I throw it in my backpack, and it sits with my other laptops that are in there, and I'm not worried about it breaking or getting damaged or those kinds of things. It just works out real well. That's another great designed keyboard. I mean, it seems like Microsoft makes really good keyboards and mice. Mm-hmm. At times for that kind of stuff. So, Kevin, let's talk real quick about the ecosystem. We haven't spent too much time talking about that. You did mention Google Play, which is important. Some of these knockoff Android tablets don't have Google Play. But there is kind of a big deal when we talk about iPad or the Apple ecosystem versus the Android ecosystem versus the Amazon ecosystem. When we talk about Kindle, I mean, that's now a big deal, I think. And don't you think? I mean, there are things that are not available. You can't just do everything on all three. And then throw Windows in there, right?
Yeah. Well, that is a big deal. And that's, and you know, so I there's a young lady at work who had a lot of PC and other problems, and she just, over about a year's period of time, she is 100% Apple now. She's got an iPhone, she's got iPad, iMac, you know, iPod, everything in the cloud, everything in iTunes. It's a full Apple ecosystem. She still runs into issues from time to time, and you know, the issues, of course, are things that I would find to be quite irritating. But it's like her dad sent her a USB hard drive with. She was in a lot of athletics in college, and there's tons and tons of video of her, you know, like a terabyte of video, and I want to say it's all MP4 format, but it happens to be an MP4 format that Apple doesn't like. So, of course, Apple's response is, well, that's not a supported format, so you need to convert it. And, you know, you can plug it into any Windows machine, and it just comes up and plays. So that's still, it's a narrow function, but it's still a bit of my angst with the environment. But interesting point, Jim, is, you know, I'm getting to have a little bit of angst with Google these days in kind of their path of wanting to pull back into themselves. I love Google Hangouts, but it drives me nuts that I can't do it on my Windows phone. And the Google Microsoft. We could probably have a whole show on. I've been around a while, and the things that Google is doing today are things that landed Microsoft in court back in the early 90s. So I look at everything from what's good for the consumer. And if I was looking heavily at Google, part of my response would be, geez, how does that help me as a consumer? But I think for me, I live in Android and I live in Microsoft. I've stayed away from Apple just because I've never lived in that ecosystem. So I tend to have products that tend to live in Android and a Microsoft world.
Hmm. Yeah, I use my iPad with my Chromecast, so there's Apple. Mm-hmm. To Android. I like it. It's pretty cool. I grab my laptop and bring that out sometimes, and so that's Windows to Android, and that's pretty cool. I'll watch something like a YouTube video. I'll just have it on my laptop, and I'll fire it up, have it come through Chromecast, and that works pretty well. Just a little shout out for Chromecast there. I just sold my brother-in-law on one. He's got a boxy box, and he's looking at this thing, and he's thinking it's too complicated. He keeps losing the remote, and I says, well, you know, $35, you download the remote, and, you know, basically, actually, you don't really download the remote. You download an app, and it just integrates all of your streaming programs, apps like Netflix, and if you're on the if you're on a PC, then you can get an extension for streaming a tab, and it goes full screen too. If you're on YouTube, so it looks pretty good. It looks very good, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. I watch instructional videos on, you know, I'll pull it up on my laptop, and then I'll fly it out to my television, and there it is. It's a lot nicer looking at it that way. Yep.
Very good. Kevin, anything else? So we've been talking tablets for about 35 minutes. Anything else you want to throw in there just as we kind of come in for this tablet discussion for landing?
Not right offhand. I mean, the thing that I kind of keep coming back to is, you know, and I, you know, I hate shopping. I love shopping for tech, you know, so I don't mind wandering around to Best Buy looking at stuff. I know a lot of people don't care for that, but I really think people would be surprised if they've never played with a Samsung Note product before, pick one up and give it a try. And the Sony Flip laptop I was playing with last night, it was very well built and you know, something I hadn't seen before. So I think we're going through such a technology change these days that, you know, vendors are coming out with new formats, new functions, and to make a good decision, you really got to get out there and play with them. So that's probably my one thing, is encourage people to get out there and try playing around with different products from all these different vendors, and then make an educated decision on what's going to work for you. And depending on what your needs are, probably not a bad idea to have a couple of different devices that you can be a little more specialized in what they do.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. You know, my daughter has an iPhone. My wife had one until recently. She's now gone Android, and she's the same phone as I am. We're in the Amazon ecosystem for music. So we buy music on Amazon. It automatically copies to our Amazon library, and we download it or my daughter downloads it to put it in her iTunes library so she can, you know, have access to it. We get to it straight through our phones through a shared account that we use on Amazon. And so just even with that one music piece, you know, we've got several different ways of making that work based on the ecosystem. And it works great that way. It's tougher. That'd be tougher if I were to do it on my Windows phone. You know, I've got that Lumia 520. I'm going to have to download that and move that onto that phone. There's no, I don't think there's an Amazon player on Windows phone yet, so I can play that music.
I think there is.
Is there? Okay. So I could. I thought I checked the last time, and there wasn't a native player to get that done. Even so, you know, in some of those cases, you know, you've got these odd alliances like you're talking about now, where some things work on some and they don't work on others, and you know, you got some. But I mean, speaking of equipment, so when I go to this when I'm in Microsoft, I'm at the conference, I'll have a 520, I'll have a GS4 with me, I will have the Surface once I get there, I will have a 10-inch touchscreen Asus laptop running Windows 8.1, and I have my work laptop with me, you know, for running Windows 7. So no iPad and no tablet, so to speak, with exception of the Surface. Once I get that, but it's the same. It's the same kind of thing, Rich. Rich and Kevin, we carry all this equipment around with us, right? Plus, I'll have that wedge keyboard. I'll have an extra wireless mouse. It's no wonder my back doesn't.
It's fun. It's a pain in the neck. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun and a pain in the neck all the same time. Well, Kevin, thanks for digging through on the tablet. Some great discussion around that. Rich, I know you've bought some new things recently, and let's just kind of roll through. You mentioned in the pre-show to me that you had bought some new equipment. Kind of walk through what you've picked up recently.
All right. Well, the last thing I just bought was an 80-millimeter Silent X fan to replace the 80-millimeter fan on my brand-new 3-bay trailless hard drive cage. And that runs at 6 gigabits per second, and I dropped the link in chat. It's an iStar cage, and you install it in your tower, and you can just open up a door. One of those three doors. I got the 3-bay. Takes up two slots, two 5 1/4 slots on your computer, and slide your drive in and close the door, and you're good to go. And as I said, they're 6 gigabit connections, so pretty nice. The first day I put it in there and turned it on. It was probably about 2 minutes later I had that thing apart and I was taking the fan off.
So
this, I can't deal with that.
Rich, this opposed to like an IC dock? I mean, price-wise, they're very similar. What made you go with this as opposed to an IC dock enclosure?
Oh, well, okay. I've tried IcyDoc products before. I know they're good. I have had some experience with them that I just question. So I'm not, I don't, they're not my first choice anymore. Now iStar, who the heck are they? You know, I'll just say that I did a lot of reading. I read a lot of the reviews on it. It looked like a good product. It looked like it was pretty well made. And I got to say, getting it here, it's, it is a pretty good product. It looks like it's, okay. You know, you drive, you grab a 3.5-inch drive and you slide it in, no problem. If you've got an SSD, well, you got to find an adapter, you know. And I do use IcyDoc for those.
Yeah, so one of those 2.5 to 3.5-inch. Nathaniel was asking, but you did replace the fan on that straight away, right?
It's coming. Right now, there's no fan on it, but I've got three 140 millimeters fans running in that thing, two at the top, one in the front, and then I've got 120 pulling out air in the back. And so there's a lot of air running through there. And right now, actually, I've got it populated with one spinning drive and two SSDs. So my OS drive is running through there right now. Now, the second thing I had to buy, about 2 days later, I said, I gotta have more SATA 6 drives. SATA 6 connections on my motherboard, because I get into periods of time where I'm fixing people's laptops, and so I need to be able to hook it up, and I want to be able to do SATA 6, because sometimes you want to check the benchmarks, like, hey, your drive was running this slow before, now it's running this fast. You can't really get the accurate speed if you're running a common, brand new current SSD is what I'm looking for. So I'm looking at my motherboard. It's got 2 6-gigabyte connectors on it. And I've got an old SGL 2720 SGL, and I wanted to install it, but I can't install it because it's a PCI Express and a slot, and I've already got that filled with an inexpensive video card, so I can run my three monitors. I'm running two off the motherboard, and then I've got another monitor here. I'm not giving up a monitor, so that I can have a six. So I ended up saying, looking around, and then ended up buying this ASRock. It's in transit. I haven't gotten it yet, but it's got six ports that I'm looking for, and it's got six 6-gigabyte ports, SATA ports, and it has, I think it's got three of the PCI Express 3.0, I believe. So that's pretty good. Could I stick my SATA card in there now that I've got it? You know what? I don't think I'm going to. And in fact, you guys will laugh, but I actually think I'm going to get rid of it. And one of the reasons I'm going to get rid of it is because it kills the boot time. I don't like that. I'm just impatient. I've got certain things I like and certain things I don't like. And I never was a big RAID guy. I bought it. I thought I'd try out RAID on another system. I had some problems, and it might have been drive related. You know, maybe the new hard drives that go to sleep on you. I've just never been really excited about it. So I'm thinking about maybe I'll list it on Home Service Show in the deals. I got two breakout cables, and I got a 2720 SGL that I've probably got about, I don't know, maybe 100 hours on it or something like that. So anyway, so where am I at here? Okay, so the motherboard. Let me see here.
On the ASRock stuff, they've come on with some pretty good server products. I just threw a link in notes. They've actually got a board that the Serve the Home guys reviewed with. It's not out yet, but it'll have 12 SATA ports right on the motherboard. So they're coming on pretty strong as a viable server board provider.
Yeah, Lopta was saying something about RAID is only slow to boot if you're using a hardware RAID controller, and that, I guess that's true. Being that this is a hardware RAID controller, it's probably going to hit the deals for them here pretty soon. Yeah. Which I'm sure it'll go pretty quick because
that's a
pretty popular one.
Which one is it?
It's the 2720 SGL.
Okay.
Plus, it's got a couple of breakout cables, which you know sell for like $25 a piece or something like that. So I'll see what I think about the price on that. But yeah.
And you recently picked up an 840 as well, right? A Samsung 840 Pro.
I did pick up an 840 Pro, except it's sitting in Tamara's laptop right now.
Yeah, well, but we had talked in pre-show a little bit about this. It's been fairly low maintenance for you, right? Since you got it installed and you got it installed correctly, it's been really low maintenance for you at this point. Right?
Yeah, well, I'll come back on the show at some other time and we'll talk more about this little situation I had here. But no, it's great. You know, and actually, what happened is, this won't make sense, but I'll come back sometime and I'll talk about it. But actually, we got the school to sanction a purchase of an SSD. It's the first, believe it or not, it's the first SSD the school has authorized for purchase, and so she was able to, you know, give them reasons why she needed it, and they were good reasons, actually. She had just horrible boot times, and that was a function of all of the Novell and Active Directory stuff that they're in the middle of transitioning from one to the other, and then all of the other bits of software that have to load on her enterprise laptop. So she took her boot times from, like, I don't know, she says they were close to 10 minutes, and it's down to like two and a half minutes. So that's pretty nice.
Still a really long time.
It's a long time, Jim. If I just throw a vanilla Windows 7 install in there, it's going to boot in like, I don't know, 10 seconds or 20 seconds, whatever the BIOS will, you know, after the BIOS, it'll boot as quick as it can.
Yeah. Especially on a laptop.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So they must have a lot of, it must be an older enterprise image that just probably hasn't been revisited in a while.
Yeah, and maybe the image is not aligned on 4K boundaries. Maybe. That's a good story, though, isn't it? I'll tell you about that later.
Maybe another time.
Maybe it's a bit lockered and TPM'd and whatever. So.
Rich, you've been spending a little time in school, which is why we haven't seen you as much recently. You know,
right.
over the last year, you've been in some school. Back in the spring, we did kind of a networking series where I had everybody jump in and give us their networking configurations at home. You had thrown in the show notes your home networking a document as well. You want to throw that up on the screen and we'll
give you an opportunity to
talk about that a little bit as we kind of come in for a little bit of a landing on the show here.
Yeah, so this is a Vizio. I never heard of Vizio, but now that I've been playing with it, I can see that's probably what some of you guys might have been using to put up your home networking. Pretty cool. So what the teacher wanted us to do, he says, you know, you can use these default icons to populate everything, so you can bring in a mobile, you know, device, a cell phone, but he says, you know, hey, why don't you can actually bring in icons that you can, you know, if you've got them available. So he says, why don't you do that and see, you know, try that out and see how that works for you. It looks pretty cool. I organized it so that, you know, I organized it into wireless and then wired devices. So it made me stop and think. I don't do anything with networks. I really don't. I'd like to know more about it, which is why I'm taking the class. But so what I found out, though, while I was messing with this, is that you can attach an Excel sheet with all your data. So I broke this down into four areas, I think. Let me see. I broke it down into peripherals. I broke it down into just the networking devices, like the modem and the router and the switch, and then let me see what else. I broke it down into wireless and then wired devices, and it was actually pretty cool. So now if I come over here, don't know if you guys can't probably see this too well, but if I come over here, let me actually click on the right spot. So now you can see there's some shape data, data associated with this particular device will pop up.
Rich, be careful what you click on so we're not seeing your external IP.
Okay.
And anyway, just in case you're not comfortable with that, I do see the NSA cloud in there, so I want to make sure that...
I'm sorry about the NSA cloud.
I like that cynicism, by the way.
That's a little bit of cynicism. I'm sorry.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Sorry.
All right, but
just be careful with your IP. Yeah.
And actually, I should probably pull out all the MAC addresses. But you know what? I just threw it in there. I just wanted to see.
Yeah, we got good. We have good listeners here. They're not going to do anything. Stupid,
yeah, I know,
right?
I know. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. I thought this is an interesting. And you know, I've got access to the resource tracker, the IT resource tracker at work. And I was noticing one of the guys said, hey, you know, that Vizio's done. I got it done. So I want to get a hold of that guy and find out what Vizio, what he's talking about. I think he was talking about one of the residential buildings that he threw the network into a Vizio. And I'm wondering what they're doing with it, what they're tracking. So I've got to get together with him. But I wonder if they're doing anything like this where you know, you've got your different icons, and then you've got your data associated with each one of those items. I think it's pretty cool. You know, that's about the extent of it. But I think it's pretty cool. And there's the NSA tracking us all the time. That really comes to the forefront with this. They've been in the news a lot lately, so it was hard to ignore them.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Kevin, any thoughts on that?
No, it looks good.
Do you use it, Kevin?
That's what I'd used when we did the networking shows. You search around a little bit, you can find, you know, most vendors have, a lot of vendors have graphics and icons. You can make a lot of your own, so it works out really well. It's a nice way to document what you've got, and then I use OneNote as kind of my tool to keep all that stuff together, so then I'll take Vizios and different documents and put those into OneNote, and that's my spot to keep everything together.
Now, to do something like what I've done here with a Excel, like a spreadsheet, and then tag it to the shape.
Yep.
Do that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's
That's cool. It helps you get things organized.
It does help you get organized, and it's. I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to use this, but I know how to do it now, so that's pretty cool.
I like it. I think it looks good. I think you should print it out and stick it on the wall.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably get a T-shirt made.
I do have a spreadsheet I put together. You know, I dynamically, you know, the pfSense router dynamically assigns IP addresses, and then I've got kind of a layout. I was heavily influenced by Mike Howard on this idea, by the way, which is then everything gets assigned addresses, and you know, you create these static addresses in pfSense, and every time they go, you kind of know what's coming in, and then you can do some QoS stuff with it, and
right,
just assign it in advance. So that's about the most I've gotten from pfSense
is really the thing to get into if you are taking a networking class. You know, as far as routers go and home routers go, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unshare that for me, Rich, so we see your face again. If you would. And they're saying in chat, looks good. Yeah, I agree. Looks good.
Thank
I'd love
you.
To do that with my network. Vizio is available if you have one of the versions of Office. It's available, I think, in the Pro version or one of those now. And you can open up Vizio, a lot of good stuff to do, a lot of good diagramming, actually a lot of good project management that you can do with swim lanes and stuff in Vizio and make that work. And so it's actually a really useful tool. We've never talked about it on the show.
And I had never heard of it. But
yeah.
I'll tell you, it's free if you are a student and your school signs up to something called DreamSpark. And it's one of Microsoft's outreaches to schools and students, and they make available, depending on if you have the advanced, I'm going to call it advanced because I can't think, there's basic and then there's advanced level of subscription, which we have, and so you can get And I think they only last 2 years. I think they're like a 2 year key, if there's such a thing, and I think that's what they are. But you get a free copy of Visio, Windows Server 2012, E, probably R2, just plain R2. You can get Office, you can get Windows 8.1 and Windows 8 and Windows 7, and I think XP still. So, and then there's, you know, all of the other programming apps, you know, Visual Studio and such. So it's pretty cool if your school has that and they sign you up for it. And
Rich, pretty intuitive to use. Did you find it pretty easy for never using it before?
For DreamSpark? Oh,
no,
for Visio.
I mean for Visio.
It took a little while, but I would say actually it's very easy to use to get started with. What I thought was a pain in the neck was fighting with the dynamic mm-hmm. connectors. Kevin, give yep. me a tip on how to deal. Those things are the most unruly. They just want to do their own thing, don't they?
They do. I don't have it on this laptop, but if you go up to the connector tool mm-hmm. and pull down on it, there's other choices. So that
you can get curve, you can get a straight line, and you can get the, put an angle here.
Yep. And then also it gives you a tool to lay down connection points. So you can add connection points to shapes, and that seems to help.
Tip of the night. Thank you. Got it.
That worked.
I'll run. That's the tip of the night, actually. That might be helpful because it's just I'm trying to get it to come off of this corner here because, you know, I'm trying to set it up visually. Visio. So.
Well, there you go. That's worth the price of admission right there, Rich.
Yeah, it was. It was. Hey, I'm going to mention something about Google Talk, if I could, Google Hangouts. Okay. A couple of people at school have been having this problem, and it's been a real head-scratch for IT to get straightened out. And I don't know if anybody else has had it, but they've had instances in this one office, actually, three different people had an error where they couldn't start a Hangout, and the school has gone to using Hangouts now, so they're wanting to try that out and they, a couple of these people were trying to start it. They got an error saying you couldn't install or uninstall it. In so many words, is what it was turning out to be. It was a 1603 error, and they would try to uninstall it, and it said, well, you know, the path for your installation files could not be found, and we tried a couple of things. I found the MSI, and so I pointed to that path. You know, I pointed the path to the MSI. It still didn't help. This was a problem getting this thing uninstalled and reinstalled that required the IT guy to run Revo, CCleaner. He said he ran Hijack this. I'm not quite sure why. And then he ran the Microsoft Fixit tool just to get it uninstalled. So that was pretty crazy. And I believe he actually used this is nuts. But I think he told me that he used an MSI from somebody in GoogleCode.com, so some developer, and I think the guy might have created it to maybe get around this problem. But you know, this problem is kind of odd, and I know people have had problems before with their plugins, but I don't know if anybody's had a problem that's been quite as hairy as this one. I mean, it took this guy a couple of hours. Because the information about this particular problem is scant, so you have to use your basic troubleshooting experience to say, well, what can I do? There must be some registry parts left behind. There must be some app data folders left behind, and interesting. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Microsoft Fixit. They have a lot of Fixits for Microsoft, these little built-in solution packages. You got a problem. If they refer you to use one of these Microsoft Fixits, they're pretty targeted, and they will generally do what they say they're going to do. And in this case, it did allow the IT guy to uninstall the plugin. Of course, his next problem was getting it back on, which took multiple reboots, I guess, and running cleanup tools like Revo and CCleaner.
Rich, was that on Chrome?
It was Chrome.
It was Chrome.
But okay. none of the other browsers would work either once that happened. So I will tell you, the app data folder is in the Chrome. Well, in this case, it was in the Chrome folder. So it's pretty
I'm glad you said something, because we're using, you know, for Call to Coach over at Gallup, we're using Google Hangouts a lot more. I mean, I'm in them all the time, just not only for this podcast, but for the twice a month podcast we're doing at Gallup now. Yeah. Plus, I'm doing interviews live over Google Hangouts for a STEM program that I'm in, that I'm working with, and
yeah.
We're going to encourage our high school kids to start using Hangouts. And there's actually a really cool called Connected Classrooms on Google Plus now, an initiative that Google is going with to connect classrooms with industries, or classrooms with museums, or classrooms with anything, right? Stars, athletes, those kinds of things, where they connect the classroom for an hour, whatever, with something they want to see, and the kids don't have to leave the room to get it done. They're virtual field trips is really what they are, and it's a great idea. But
yeah, I'm looking
in that setting, we're using Hangouts a lot more. I think we're going to see a little more problems. Early here in the podcast, you and I realized I thought that was a browser plugin, but it's actually it's installing at the OS level.
Yeah, it's actually the add removes or programs and features.
Yeah, so that's good to know, because I know I'm going to come across it, and somebody, being the producer of Called to Coach, the show that we do, I have to do all the troubleshooting for these, when we get these guests on. We've got the talent. Jeremy is our host of the show, so he does what I do here. Yeah. But it's my job to get everybody hooked up. So that's good to know, because if I run into that problem again, then I'll know maybe I have a bigger problem than like uninstall the plugin and reinstall it,
type thing. Yeah. And if you figure it out, let me know, because what Patrick did is he, this is one of those jobs that suck down a lot of hours. You can have somebody sitting at the help desk and they can answer 100 questions in a couple of hours, or whatever. They can answer a bunch of questions, serve a lot of customers. Then you get a problem like this and you take one, second level IT guy running off to some remote location, to some office, and spending a couple hours, and maybe getting it fixed, and then coming back the next day. It actually took him a couple of passes at it because, as I said, there was not a lot of information on this particular error. So he had to kind of piece it together. Pain in the neck.
Yeah.
A big time sink.
Yeah, and maybe not even a lot of excuse the pun, but a lot of Google... not a lot of stuff out there about it.
No, you couldn't get any Google. Yeah, no Google help on the Google problem.
There's not a lot of folks using it. Speaking of Google, they have moved to a new infrastructure. We talked about this, I think I talked about it a week ago on Home Server Show. They have now what's called Helpouts. Have you guys seen this? These are a play on Hangouts, and you can go out there and peddle your services, basically do it for free or charge $15 to $25 or whatever you decide to set.
Mm-hmm. There are some people out there charging like $50, $60 an hour, $70 an hour. They're serious. These are some serious guys.
Yeah, it might be worth it. They have so if you go to, I'll throw the link in the show notes. Let me put them. I'll put that in the chat window as well. If you go to, they have sections on art and music, computer and electronics, cooking, education and careers, fashion and beauty, fitness, nutrition, health, and home and garden. And basically, you can then connect with somebody, sign up. I think it uses a Google Wallet to pull this off, and you can make a connection. There are quite a few free services out there. I'm looking at one right now, a free lawn care consultation. I wonder how that's going to work if on a Hangout, right? Is the guy going to be like, okay, pick up your laptop and let's walk out to the lawn? How's that going to work? I don't know, but kind of interesting to say the least. I think that this is kind of interesting. It'll see if Google takes off on this, and they have invested a ton in their Hangout infrastructure to make it work. So, and of course, that's what we use here on the Average Guy.
People at work are really liking it. They, they learn how to use the microphone and the camera and get connected, and then I showed them about the lower thirds, and they're like, wow. I had this one woman walk into show up in a hangout. She was the first one that was using it. I said, "You got to be the first." I said, "You got to get in there. You'll be the first one. They'll look at you like, wow, how did you do that?" And that's exactly what happened. She says, "It was great."
Yeah, it's amazing. They feel like they're on TV. You know, that's the thing. We've been evangelizing.
And it makes easy.
Yeah, as we've been evangelizing, Call to Coach at Gallup. You know, there are folks. Not everybody's technology or has seen this kind of technology. It surprises me as much as we're into this, right? We've been using the Google Hangout.
We talk about this all the time, though.
Yeah,
like, what we think is normal.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, yeah, and they just, it's like magic. You know, they're like, oh, this is magic, you know, this stuff that, and they know kind of Skype. Everybody, I think Skype is making inroads into it in a lot of people, and FaceTime as well. So FaceTime has certainly made inroads in this idea, so good stuff. Guys, anything else as we bring this in for a landing? Anything else you're dying to say before I close this thing up? All right, I will take that silence as a resounding no at this point, and both Rich and Kevin, thanks for taking some time tonight to come out and give up your Friday night. Rich, I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
great to have you.
I love being here, so.
Thanks for coming on. Kevin, I'm glad we could keep you occupied on a Friday night in a hotel room in Orlando.
Poor guy.
So it's pretty warm there right now?
It's not bad. It's a little muggy.
Yeah, well, good. Well, thanks for coming in and being a part of what we do. And I'll remind folks to don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, this show here, Home Tech. We do have the links for everything, pretty much everything you can think of to subscribe to is at theaverageguy.tv. I used to read them all, and I thought, there is no way in hell that you guys can remember everything I say at the end of the show. So let me just give you one address, theaverageguy.tv, everything you need to subscribe to YouTube and Stitcher and Spreaker and Podomatic and whatever you decide to listen to this thing on, iTunes, of course, Xbox, any of those things. All that stuff is out there at theaverageguy.tv if you get it subscribed. And we'd like you to do that so you don't miss a show each week. Normally we're out here on Thursday nights. Tonight we are out on a Friday night, but this if you're listening to the recorded version, you don't really care because it's time shifted. It could be 2 years from now, and you don't care. We did this on Friday. But I do want to thank all those guys that are out there in chat tonight, and we had a good group that was out there. In fact, Bayes is out there. He just asked me how the concert was. I went and saw Brad Paisley last night. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago on Thursday, we saw Brian Regan. And if you're not a fan of Brian Regan, you need to be. He is, I think, one of the funniest comedians out there right now. Super clean, great humor that you can share with the family. We oftentimes, in my demographic, is mostly family guys. And you know, a lot of times you struggle if you know like a Dane Cook or some of those kinds of guys. You don't necessarily want that playing on your iPhone or your Android device in front of the kids. He can be a little, you know, but Brian Regan, just like R-E-G-A-N, Brian Regan, super clean comedy, funny guy. We saw him on Thursday night here in Omaha, and that was fun. I took the whole family to see that. And then my wife and I got a chance to see Brad Paisley on Thursday night, so we shifted these podcasts down to Friday, and we still have a good crowd. So thanks for coming out if you're in chat. Thanks for coming out and being a part of that, which we do. We're back on Thursday next week. John Zadler is up, and we'll talk, you know, we're going to talk some home server stuff next Thursday. He's got some stuff that he wants to talk about as well. Thanksgiving here in the United States that weekend. Actually, Dave and I might try and do some kind of hangout, something live from Redmond. So you might want to just follow my Twitter at Jay Collison if you have if you're getting this early in the weekend. You might have this done sometime Saturday that you can listen to it. If you're getting to it early enough, you might want to follow it. We might have some exclusive stuff. I need to remind myself to take a bunch of podcasting equipment with me. I did pick up my son was using this. I have a Tascam. I don't know if you've seen these. I have a Tascam. This one is a DR07, $99. Actually, the new version of this, the microphones are in a different orientation, but really good for doing, like, interviews on a floor. I've done a few of those on these really good microphones. So if you're into that kind of thing from a podcasting perspective, you can get these for about $100. But take that with me and some microphones. We might do something from, or there in Redmond. We might as well, right? So we've got some stuff coming up. So we'll be back next Thursday. Thanksgiving is after that here in the U.S., and we'll be taking that night off. And then I got all setting up a whole bunch of interviews for you in December, and we will get at least the first 3 or 4 weeks in, and then Christmas comes. Anybody know, is Christmas on a Thursday this year or Wednesday? Let's look real quick. Who can find it the fastest? It's a Wednesday, so we might do the day after Christmas. We'll just have to see. I don't know if I'll be able to get anybody that night or not. But regardless of that, when you listen to it, we do this live show every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv live. And, of course, jump into the Facebook conversation. Just head out to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. For Kevin and for Rich and myself, we say thanks for coming out tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you back up with you later. Good night, everybody.